Wednesday, March 18th, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends are all staying strong and you're all staying healthy right now. And yes, kids, we have reached a magical time of year. We have reached, honestly, one of my favorite times of the entire year because we are in the time of the madness.
Well, let's start the insanity.
Giddy up.
And it isn't just March Madness because, you know, we're also in that magical time of year where colds and sicknesses begin, I don't know, they start to show themselves a little bit on Wednesday morning into Wednesday afternoon. By the time you're done with work late Wednesday, oh, something's wrong. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting something for sure. And for some reason, it seems like those colds or whatever you want to call them, they do not get better until late Sunday afternoon. And yes, I am talking about those annual March Madness bouts with cold and flu. I don't know, you might even put COVID in there. Hey, the true festivities for March Madness begin at 10:15 on Thursday morning. So if you do not have a job that is going to allow you to watch those games during your shift, you had better start planning ahead. Also remember, it isn't comfortable. It isn't going to be pleasant. But here is a little free advice. Do with it whatever you want. But when you say the word diarrhea, you rarely get any further questions. Hey, I know we say it every week, but be sure that you head over to DailyDoseSports.com this week and go to the link that is to ESPN, where you can join the Daily Dose 2026 NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge. It is totally free to enter. You just have to go join our bracket, Daily Dose Sports Podcast. The winner, the top finisher, if you listen to the dose, is going to receive a Daily Dose basketball t-shirt. Like I said, you simply go to our site, click on that ESPN link, join the group named Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and then make each of your picks for the NCAA tournament. Plus, while you're over there, you can check out some of the other links we have. We have links to the podcast, we have links to videos, we have links to articles every week, and we do have links to Daily Dose gear. I mean, you don't have to win the bracket challenge to get that Daily Dose gear. You can just go over there, get a t-shirt, get a sweatshirt, get a hoodie, get a baseball cap, and you can get your own Daily Dose gear. But I'm telling you right now, be sure that you stop by DailyDoseSports.com this week. Hey, today on The Dose, we are going to be getting you ready for that NCAA tournament. We're going to be taking a look at each region, and we're going to be looking at each of those number one seeds. What could take each of them out? You might remember last year, all four number one seeds made it to the Final Four. Could that happen again this year? We will also preview some of the best games and give you a little bit of bracket advice as we get you ready for March Madness as only we can. But first, we do have a little bit of news to discuss. And let's start off in college football news. I know it seems like a strange place to start, but that's what we have this week. It was announced this week that high school quarterback Gunnar Rivers has signed to go to North Carolina State. Rivers is a four-star pocket passer out of Alabama's St. Michael Catholic High School. And of course, Rivers is also the son of North Carolina State legend and eight-time NFL Pro Bowler, Philip Rivers. But Gunnar chose the NC State Wolfpack over Auburn, Boston College, Miami, and South Carolina. And the even better news for North Carolina State is that now you're just going to keep getting a new Rivers kid committing like every year for the next, I don't know, 14, 15 years. I mean, this is going to be like a Fast and Furious movie that just comes year after year after year.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Which Rivers kid is coming this year? What has he got? 27 of them? Well, another one signing on at NC State. Yeah, get ready for this every single year. Moving over to the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs have found their newest backup quarterback for Patrick Mahomes this past Monday. They agreed to send a 2027 sixth-round pick to the New York Jets to acquire quarterback Justin Fields. Fields is 27, and he wanted to continue his career in Kansas City, although they say there were other teams that were interested in signing him. I don't know who those teams would be. But after the New York Jets acquired quarterback Geno Smith in a trade with the Las Vegas Raiders last week, Fields decided that he wanted out of New York. Now, to facilitate this trade, the Jets are actually paying $7 million of Fields' $10 million in guaranteed salary. And you know, it's interesting, because I am hearing in sports media this week, there are a number of people saying that Justin Fields gives the Kansas City Chiefs a legitimate backup option at quarterback until Patrick Mahomes comes back from that knee injury. Hey, Fields is a highly athletic guy. You're not going to have to change the playbook that much from Mahomes to Fields. And now you put him in that Chiefs system with head coach Andy Reid and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, who is now back with the Chiefs after no one else really wanted him. Fields might actually be a really good option for Kansas City until Patrick Mahomes gets back. Now, that is what people might say who have never actually seen Justin Fields play football. But if you've actually seen him play football, then you go, yeah, that isn't the case at all, because he's not very good at playing football. And you can say, well, he gives the Chiefs an athletic quarterback that can run. Okay, but you also need someone that can pass. And don't forget, the Chiefs just spent $43 million on running back Kenneth Walker. You have someone that can run. You need a passer. I'm not sure Justin Fields is that guy. I'll be honest, I'm not sure what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. I know everyone is saying they're playing chess to everyone's checkers. I don't get it. You dealt your best defensive player, you brought in a running back, and now you brought in a guy that I thought might have played his last snap in the league. I'm not sure I understand. Let's finish up in the NBA, where it was announced this past week that the NBA will hold a vote at the Board of Governors meeting next week to explore adding expansion teams, exclusively, they say, cities like Las Vegas and Seattle, who they say would get the two new franchises they are targeting that start to play in the 2028-2029 season. Now, they say there's momentum within the Board of Governors and league office to approve moving forward with taking bids for those franchises in Las Vegas and Seattle. Industry executives project proposals in the $7 to $10 billion range for each team, and they estimate that both markets would be among the NBA's top eight revenue generators. Obviously, the market appeal of Las Vegas and Seattle, plus the parity-friendly collective bargaining agreement, will likely lead to a very robust purchase market for that expansion. But let me see if I have this straight. Currently in the NBA, we have a league of 30 teams. And within those 30 teams, they can't find enough players that actually want to play the game. You know, you play to win the game. They can't even find people that want to play the game. And right now, both the coaches and the players are saying they want to play less games, and the product in the NBA on a night-to-night basis is truly terrible. The TV ratings are getting worse every single year. The officiating is so bad that people are becoming more and more convinced that the games and the league and the playoffs are fixed. And the NBA is telling us that they want to expand. What's the opposite of expanding? Contracting. Shouldn't they be contracting right now? Less teams, less players, less games, less money, less TV. At the current rate, the NBA should have like eight teams. Then maybe you could find enough players to actually play, you know, every game and actually have enough officials that actually ref the games evenly and fairly. And then you could only play, I don't know, like 20 games a year and then start the playoffs. Now that contracting of the NBA, that sounds like a way better strategy to me.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
Okay, but let's jump into our March Madness preview. Who cares about any of the other stuff right now? It is March Madness season, and I am here for it. And let's go ahead and take a look at the NCAA tournament bracket that came out on Sunday. Of course, Duke is the top overall seed for this year's men's tournament, and they have an 11-game winning streak going into the tournament. They have a 32-2 record, and they have Player of the Year favorite, Cameron Boozer. The Blue Devils are the number one seed in the East region, and they were joined in those top four seeds by Arizona in the West, Michigan in the Midwest, and then defending national champion Florida in the South region. Now, according to the NCAA Selection Committee chairperson, Keith Gill, Michigan's loss to Purdue in the Big Ten final, right before the brackets were released, ultimately dropped the Wolverines from being the number two seed. They thought they were going to be the two. They dropped them down to the three. And then, in one of the day's biggest nail biters on Sunday, Miami, Ohio, made the field as a number 11 seed. But I'm telling you, they just barely made it despite only having a single loss on the entire year. The Redhawks have an impressive 31-1 record, but they have the 339th ranked strength of schedule. Yeah, not good. But they were one of the last teams in the field, and the committee put them in a first four game that will be played against SMU in Dayton, Ohio tomorrow night. Not terribly far from home from Miami, but we'll see if the Redhawks can prove that they actually do belong in this tournament. But when we look at each region in the tournament, I have a few takeaways from each region. Because starting in the East is stacked with really good head coaches. I mean, someone is going to come out of this region. Oh, but they're going to have to earn it because they're going to have to beat some legends. Look at who the East has. The East has Duke's John Shire. They have St. John's Rick Pitino. They have Kansas with Bill Self, Michigan State with Tom Izzo, UCLA with Mick Cronin, and UConn's Danny Hurley, who has won two titles himself. Hey, that East bracket is a who's who of future Hall of Famers. Moving down to the South, the computers say the South region is actually the toughest bracket. The Florida Gators are the number one seed. The Houston Cougars are the number two seed. Illinois is the three. Nebraska is the four. And Vanderbilt is the five. That is definitely a difficult region. But here's the crazy part. The Florida Gators are the defending champions. The Florida Gators are the number one seed in the region. Oh, but number two Houston? Yeah, they've got a distinct advantage. After these teams play in the opening rounds in North Carolina and Oklahoma, the regional will move to Houston, where the Cougars will basically be playing home games for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight if they can make it that far. Advantage, Houston. The easiest path to the Final Four looks to be the West regional, where the Arizona Wildcats are the number one seed. The number two seed is Purdue, who is no doubt talented and have one of the best backcourts in the country, but they've also shown some vulnerabilities down the latter stretch of the season. Number three, Gonzaga, they're still very good, and Mark Few is a phenomenal coach, but they haven't been quite as dominant maybe as in years past. Number four, Arkansas, has one of the best players in the country in Darius Acuff Jr., but Arkansas has had a few bad losses this season. And we know when John Calipari gets in those big games, a lot of times John Calipari's biggest enemy is John Calipari. Hey, the table is set for Arizona to make a deep run in this tournament. Finally, we look at the Midwest region. And I think this region could be primed for some early upsets. Michigan is the number one seed. They should have a few easy rounds. But number two, Iowa State versus Tennessee State in the first round? Okay. Number three, Virginia versus Wright State. Be careful. Number four, Alabama is dealing with the loss of one of their best players in Aiden Holloway, who was popped for a felony drug possession charge with marijuana. And I know the first reaction is, marijuana? A felony? Why? Because he had over 2 pounds of marijuana. That's why. But Alabama faces Hofstra. Again, be careful. And then you have number 5, Texas Tech, facing number 12, Akron. Again, the Midwest could be a region that might end up getting blown up a little bit. Be careful when you fill out that Midwest region. For the record, in the 2026 NCAA tournament, the SEC led the way in terms of teams being placed in the field. In the field of 68, the SEC got 10. That is actually 4 short of its record from last year. The Big Ten followed with 9. The ACC and Big 12 each had 8. After that, it really dropped off. The Big East and West Coast conferences each got 3 teams. So it went from 10 to 9 to 8 to 3. Okay. But what about those 4 number 1 seeds? You know, so many times when people fill out those brackets, they just push all 4 number 1s right into the Final 4. But as you fill out your bracket, always remember that in the entire history of the NCAA tournament, all the years it's been going on, all 4 number 1 seeds have only made it to the Final 4 twice. Once back in 2008 when Kansas beat Memphis in the title game, and John Calipari outcoached himself, and just last year when Florida beat Houston for the championship. So the odds, if you just put all 4 number 1s in, they're not in your favor. Right now, let's take a look at what could trip up each of these number 1 seeds, starting off with those Duke Blue Devils, who look like they might be the best overall team in the country. I mean, they have maybe the best player in Cameron Boozer, who is averaging nearly 23 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, and he's shooting 41% from beyond the 3-point line. However, the Dukies do have a few obstacles that could be a problem, and that is primarily their health. Guard Caleb Foster, the 3rd best offensive player on the roster, yeah, he's probably going to be done for the year. He needed surgery on his fractured foot. And Patrick Ngangba is also dealing with a foot injury, although they say that maybe if Duke made it far enough, he could be hopeful to return later in the tournament. Hey, remember, Duke had to completely rebuild their team from a year ago. Depth and experience could end up being a problem for the Duke Blue Devils. The number 2 seed is the Arizona Wildcats, who won their first 23 games of this season, primarily because Tommy Lloyd's group has some serious depth. Get this. There are 7 players on the Arizona roster averaging at least 9 points per game this season. Guard Jaden Bradley is the Big 12 Player of the Year, and the Wildcats have some impressive wins. They have beaten Florida, UConn, Alabama, Houston, and Kansas this year. Hey, Arizona legit might have their best chance at a title that they've had since 97. So what could trip up the Arizona Wildcats this year? Well, it could be that sometimes Arizona can be a little careless with the basketball, and they can turn it over a little too much. It could be that a team just gets hot and sends them home with their 3-point shooting, which we have seen Arizona struggle with at times. Or it could be that Arizona remembers that they are the Arizona Wildcats. Since the Wildcats won their title back in 1997, nearly 30 years ago, they have only been past the Elite Eight 1 time. Meanwhile, they have been knocked out in the first round 7 times. Now, that might not sound so bad, but please keep in mind, Arizona has lost to lower-seeded opponents in 6 of their last 7 tournament appearances. Yet, Arizona's biggest battle is going to be against them. The 3rd number 1 seed is the Michigan Wolverines, who have been a matchup problem for teams all year because of their size. The Wolverines' front court is massive. Yaxel Lindeborg is 6'9". Merez Johnson Jr. is 6'9". Adai Mara is 7'3". Hey, head coach Dusty May has big guards too. It's not just the front line. Namari Burnett, Roddy Gale Jr., and Trey McKinney are all at least 6'4". Michigan is 31-3, and the 2 regular season losses were to Wisconsin and Duke by a combined 8 points. So who could take Michigan out? Well, the Wolverines did lose point guard LJ Kaysen to a blown ACL late in the season. So teams that get very good guard play, teams that can shoot it and make those bigs come out and chase them, they could give Michigan some trouble. Hey, we know you need good guard play to win March Madness. Michigan needs their guards to really, really step up. That final number one seed was a bit of a surprise, and it was the Florida Gators. They are the defending national champions. But remember last season when the Gators rolled to a title behind that guard play of Walter Clayton and Elijah Martin and Chris Richard combined with their dominant front court? Well, the guards this year are gone. That front court is still intact. Hey, Thomas Hauck, Alex Condon, and Ruben Chinlu, they are maybe the best front court in the country. But the Gators are going to have to get quality guard play from their backcourt, primarily Boogie Fland and Xavier Lee. When they're good, hey, Florida can be a title contender. But when they're bad, the Gators could get blown out by 30 like they did to Vanderbilt in that SEC conference tournament. As you can see, you can push all four number ones to your final four. But as you can also see, I don't know if that's going to happen again. And each one of these four number one seeds has some issues that they're going to have to address if they're going to make it that far.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
Of course, we know that every year when you fill out your March Madness bracket, you have to pick a number 12 to beat a number 5. Did you know that number 12 seeds have a strong history of upsets against those 5 seeds in the tournament? They have gone 57-103 since the field expanded in 85. Now you sit there and you hear that, you might go, that doesn't sound that great. That's 36%. Of the 4-12 seeds, 36% of them beat a number 5. And at least one number 12 seed has beaten a number 5 in 33 of the last 39 tournaments. So like I said, you probably want to make sure that you pick at least one 12-5 upset. Let's take a look at the 12-5s this year. Starting off in the East region, where you have the number 5 St. John's Red Storm facing the number 12 Northern Iowa Panthers. And of course, we know Rick Pitino is one of the best coaches in college basketball history. Yes, he's greasy. He's also good. But this St. John's team, they can sometimes be a little funky. The Red Storm are very good defensively, and they don't turn it over that much. But one, that Big East has been very average this year. Meanwhile, Northern Iowa won the Missouri Valley. They have a bona fide stud in Trey Campbell. I would think St. John's defense is enough to scrape this out, and Rick Pitino is pretty good in early rounds. But Northern Iowa can play some defense. Hey, don't go cold, St. John's. That's what I'm saying. If you go cold, this might get interesting. Otherwise, I think St. John's will advance. Over in the South region, we get the number 5 Vanderbilt Commodores facing the number 12 McNeese Cowboys. I mean, Vandy should roll here, right? They just went all the way to the title game in the SEC tournament before losing to Arkansas. That Vandy backcourt is really good with Tyler Tanner and Duke Miles. But remember last year, McNeese knocked off Clemson. They force a lot of turnovers. Vandy should win, but Vandy better not take them for granted, or they will be in some trouble. Over in the West, we have the number 5 Wisconsin Badgers facing the number 12 High Point Panthers. I like Wisconsin again because they have really good guards in Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. But like I told you last week, I also really like High Point. This team can flat out score points. The Panthers won the Big South, and they were number 1 in offensive and defensive efficiency in their league play in the Big South. Plus, the Panthers are top 5 nationally in turnover rate. They don't turn the ball over. Don't sleep on High Point. They can battle here. They were in the tournament last year. They battled with Purdue. They know what it takes this year. I don't think they go away easily. Last, we go to the Midwest region where we have number 5 Texas Tech without high-flying post player JT Toppin, who went down with a knee injury. Now, the Red Raiders are a top 10 three-point shooting team, and they are still a respectable team without Toppin in the lineup. They have had wins against Duke this year, Houston, and Arizona. So Texas Tech can play with anybody. Meanwhile, the Akron Zips play a wild brand of basketball. If you haven't seen Akron play, tune in for this game. Nearly half of their shots are threes, and Shama Scott shoots 42% from beyond the arc. He is one of the best shooters in the NCAA tournament. Again, don't let Akron get going. Don't let their shooting start to hit and heat up and then try to slow them down after. You'll be in big trouble. Be careful, Texas Tech, because Akron can fill it up and shoot you out of the game quickly. Finally, I have a few first-round games for you that you do not want to miss. Maybe you just can't watch every single game on Thursday and Friday this week. Maybe you have a few things to do. Maybe your boss didn't buy your fake cough this year or your claim of March diarrhea for like the eighth year in a row. What games in the first round are must-see? Well, I'm going to give you two on Thursday, and I'm going to give you two on Friday. On Thursday morning, beginning at 10:40 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, we will have the number 4 Nebraska Cornhuskers facing the number 13 Troy Trojans. We talked about it a little bit last week. In their 130-year history, the Nebraska Cornhuskers have never won an NCAA tournament game. Now, that should change this year, right? I mean, they're a 4. They're facing a 13. Oh, but it won't be a gimme. Because the Troy Trojans have won at San Diego State, and they lost in triple overtime at USC. They're not going to be a pushover. Hey, we could be seeing history in this game, or we could be seeing yet another disappointment for Nebraska. But this game could have some drama. You might want to tune in. Also on Thursday, starting at 11 a.m., we will have the number 6 Louisville Cardinals versus the number 11 South Florida Bulls. Both of these teams like to shoot from long range. We're probably going to see more than 60 threes go up in this game. Louisville's Mikael Brown is being looked at as being a possible lottery pick in the NBA draft this summer. Oh, but he's not fully healthy. His back is bothering him. Meanwhile, South Florida is red hot. Louisville versus South Florida might be highly entertaining. That will be starting at 11:30 on Thursday morning. And then I absolutely can't wait for the first game of the day on Friday morning at 10:15 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, when the number 7 Kentucky Wildcats will face the number 10 Santa Clara Broncos. Kentucky, of course, is insanely talented. Also, they're a little bit banged up. Also, they're wildly inconsistent this year. Hey, Santa Clara has some size. They actually match up pretty favorably with Kentucky, and they have wins over a few tournament teams this year. Be careful, Kentucky. Friday morning might be more challenging than people might think. And then our final must-see first-round game begins on Friday evening at 5:25 p.m. when the number 7 UCLA Bruins will face the number 10 Central Florida Knights. Hey, UCLA has one of the best point guards in the country in Donovan Dent, but UCLA isn't fully healthy. Meanwhile, Central Florida, oh, they've got some people. Central Florida this year has beaten Texas A&M, they've beaten Kansas, and they've beaten Texas Tech. Hey, I'm telling you, the UCLA Bruins had better bring it or they will be one and done. Hey, I know that last year, the NCAA tournament had a ton of games that just went chalk, and there weren't all the big upsets. We ended up having 4 number 1 seeds go to the Final 4. I'll be honest, I don't think that happens again. History tells us the tournament this year just might get back to being full of upsets and full of surprises, and I honestly cannot wait for it. This truly is a magical time of year. Hey, next week on The Dose, the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament will be in the books. We will take a look back at how they went, and we will also preview that Sweet 16 that will be coming next week. You know, many times, that Sweet 16 is the best round of the entire tournament. You get rid of some of the teams that maybe didn't quite belong or weren't quite ready for primetime, and you just keep the best ones. So be sure you tune into The Dose next week, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the tweets, but more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Catch Especially thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody, and enjoy the opening rounds of March Madness.
Well, let's start the insanity.
Giddy up.